Welcome to another week of the program, Hockey Central on the air, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jeff Merrick alongside Anthony Stewart and Brian Burke. In a couple of moments, we'll have a chat with Gord Stellick, host of Leafs Nation pre- and post-game. We'll talk about the Leafs' Columbus Blue Jackets opening round series, the play-ins. Should they get there? And they are inching closer, perhaps sooner than later, with a CBA in hand. Aaron Portsline covers the Columbus Blue Jackets for The Athletic. He will drop by as well. Meantime, Stewie and Berkey, good afternoon, gentlemen. And a lot of news over the weekend. The NHL and the Players Association really rolling up their sleeves to get some things done, and not just for the return to play, but also putting together what we understand is a pretty sophisticated six-year collective bargaining agreement as well. It's not done. Still some last-minute work to get done, and then certainly ratification. Good news all around in the process of returning to play, and then when they get there, having a CBA to play under for another six seasons. Burke, you've helped craft a couple of different collective bargaining agreements. What piques your interest the most this time around from the information we can glean already?
The number one thing that leaps out at me, I was talking to Stewie about this before we come on the air, is talking to teams and the revenue they're going to lose in the coming season with no fans or with socially distanced fans for part of the year. They're calculating massive losses in revenue. Mm-hmm. So this deal does not make sense on the numbers, except for a couple things. One, I think the NHL is betting on the new US TV deal to provide buckets of cash here, and it'll make sense maybe then. They're counting on a vaccine, and I think they're taking into account the roughly $20 million each team will get from the Seattle expansion, but it doesn't make sense otherwise. The revenues don't line up with a 20%, then a 16% escrow. Mm-hmm. Flat cap at 81. None of the numbers add up for me. So this is kind of wait and see. I think my experience with players is that if they go this way for the first 2 years and then the money doesn't materialize, they'll have amnesia about the first 2 years of this deal.
And the escrow is at the 20% threshold, then between 14 and 18. That's a 16% that Brian talks about, 10 and then 666. Stewie, what jumps out at you right away from what we've been able to piece together here?
Well, on behalf of the players, I do like the deal. And I mentioned that to Berkey, saying I don't think there's going to be a way that the players would accept a deal where they're you know, getting a 50% rollback. And I remember back when I first came into league 06, there was a 25% rollback, and it was a big deal to the players in the PA. So it's good now that there's that labor piece down there working together. So, you know, I'm not sure about the numbers down the line, but I think it says a lot about the owners now that are concerned about the long term and the long term of the game by making this concession and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to eat some of this money up front, and hopefully we can work it out down the line.
What do you guys make of the details that we're seeing now for the return to play proposal for the players? And again, there is an opt out for players three days after ratification of a new CBA, leaving without permission. Brian, you've talked about this extensively. The idea of removing that player, a fine, maybe a loss of draft picks as well. That's a hammer. No disclosure of positive tests. Social media person has to accompany every team. Families make their way to Edmonton for the conference finals and for the Stanley Cup finals. We don't suspect there will be many suits entering the arena. There won't be that dress code that we're so used to, the number of tests, etc. From the return to play, guys, just at first blush, I look at it this way. I'm skeptical that this can happen, but if it can happen, this seems to be the way to do it. Berkey, your thoughts?
Yes, I'm still really nervous. I look at the testing in baseball and how many positive tests have come back, and again, once the players get in the bubble, I'm not so concerned about it because I really think the league has thought this through exceptionally well, and the Players Association. I shouldn't leave them out. But I think they've thought of everything. The family's coming in, so the notion that players would be away from their families for 2 or 3 months is not going to happen. A number of teams will be eliminated within 10 days, 8 more within 14 more days. So you get to a working number, free up those hotel rooms, send the players home, and then bring in some family members. I'm not sure if I were a player, I'd bring my family in, but that's a different issue. Anyway, they seem to have thought of everything. I'm just nervous at looking how out of control the virus is in the United States with the reopening in the different states too soon. Really unsophisticated, uneducated response to it. We've done a much better job in Canada. But I think if they can get them there and do the testing, baseball's having trouble doing their testing. They're not getting the results back. One team waited 72 hours and still haven't gotten them back. But if they can look after all the details, this could work, and it might work.
Yeah, I don't think Houston or Oakland are practicing today, waiting for test results to come back in MLB. Getting into the bubble might be the tricky part here. We're going to get to Gord Celek after a quick thought from Anthony Stewart. When you look at all the protocols that have now become public, and we had dueling insiders. We had Elliot and CJ from the Sportsnet side, and Bob and Frank from the TSN side, going back and forth yesterday on Twitter. Yesterday, Stewie, anything jump out at you?
Well, I'm a little bit upset that I'm retired now and I won't be able to wear my tuxedo to the rink like I did in Russia. But, you look up due diligence in the dictionary now, and I think you're going to see a 9HL logo. They've covered everything from plan A to plan Z. So I'm sure, they anticipated there are going to be positive tests, and they have different protocols, I think, instilled in case this happens, in case that happens. So I'm really impressed of how much diligence they've done in preparing, for this return to play. And I think the other leagues throughout North America can really take note on the NHL and the job they've done so far.
Gord Celek joins us, Leafs Nation pre- and post-game analyst. And before we get to this, the play-in round between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets, Aaron Portsline of The Athletic joins us towards the bottom of the hour, Gordy. Just your general thoughts on what was an extremely busy roll-up-your-sleeves weekend for the NHL and its Players Association, whether it's the impending six-year agreement, which does include Olympics 22 and 26 in Beijing and Milan, whether it is the CBA, no trades, traveling, no conditional picks of players re-signed, etc. 35 plus doesn't carry the mandatory cap hit. From all the information that we gleaned over the weekend that was released and that we just sort of found out from various insiders, what grabbed your mind? For Stewie, it was him not being able to wear his tuxedo to games anymore. What was it for you?
Well, I'm glad Stewie's retired. If it was the tuxedo, I was going to have to see the fashion taste. Brian Burke's been a good gauge that, I once a week on our show in the morning, once a week with Tim and Sid, following him Hockey Central at noon about the challenges starting day one. And, and Brian articulated quite well all they faced. And really the NHL Players Association, and this isn't just because I'm affiliated with that sport compared to the others, but I just find it's really commendable how both sides really saw what they had out here and the challenges out there, and then decided to go hand in hand about let's try to share the hurt right now. Let's try to use this to move forward and get a collective bargaining agreement in place. A lot different collective bargaining agreement than you would have thought on March 10th or before that. So I'm really, I really got to say, like, they've really, to me, this hermetically sealed bubble as good as possible as you can set it up. And then people said, well, what about families? Well, you know what? Players, it's one thing the families being there, but the other thing is players want them taken care of. So little things were big things, like doing the grocery shopping for them, making sure they get to medical appointments, helping if there's childcare issues. I mean, all these other things about trying to make it as positive and healthy experience as possible and get it done. So I really am impressed by that part. Then the CBA, you've got a new tentative six-year agreement. You mentioned, I'm glad the 35 and over guys, Jeff, we don't have to make up any fake skin disease or something like that for them not to count against the cap. And I also thought that conditional draft picks based on a guy re-upping with the team that you trade him to, like Taylor Hall will have if he re-ups with Arizona, like Eric Carlson had with San Jose, like eliminating that, I could see it hurt the team really that acquired the player. So I thought there were some constructive moves done CBA-wise as well as trying to figure out the new world economic reality.
Berkey?
Hey, Gord, thanks for coming on with us.
Berkey, always a pleasure.
So I agree with what you just said. I think we're all optimistic, and this is the first CBA that's been done without a work stoppage since I worked at the league. So that's great news. 6 years is great news. That'll help them get the television deal done with the U.S. networks, having labor peace for at least the first 4 years of that deal. So I think it's all positive news. I'm a little nervous about what's happening with the coronavirus in the U.S. Like, it's crazy right now.
Well, it is. And I just got tested on Saturday because my mom's in a long-term health care, so I'll find out today. We just had announcement on the yesterday, North York General Hospital and Humber Valley. First time these two hospitals have not had a coronavirus, not a single one in intensive care since March 11th. And I'm with you. Like, it's really, and not to get political, it's just befuddling when you turn it on and you see states where how quickly, and this is what we always said, flatten the curve, but don't give up on it. Don't, you know, be vigilant. And so in some cases, if I'm a player, you know, you're better off being in the bubble maybe than some of these states. You're right, I'm concerned about that. And I hope that our political and health leaders here, but also there, get a handle on it. And here we remain vigilant because so far we've all done a good job because we've totally bought into what needed to be done.
Stewie?
Okay, we all know you're a betting man. So would you put your money on the Stanley Cup being awarded at the end of this 2020 season?
Hmm. Absolutely, I would totally. And you know, you already see the, like, there's positive tests. They announced some more today, the NHL. So it's not like, you know, going out and living in the environment now, it means you don't get positive tests. We've seen that, and that's going to happen regardless. And MLS soccer on the weekend, they had some positive tests. So the guys quarantined now for 2 weeks in a first class hotel, getting meals delivered to them. I mean, that's almost the best place to have to quarantine if that's going to be the case. And I think once you get testing every day, and then, of course, we have the tracking in place that hopefully that nips anything right in the bud about it growing. I mean, that's my hope. I mean, Stewie, I guess I'm being a little bit, I shouldn't be so flippant to say 100%, but I'll more say that I bet the Stanley Cup will be successfully awarded in October.
I'll bet $10 that it is.
Whoa.
You'll bet $10.
Big spender.
I'll bet, but I won't bet a lot. Like okay. I'm still nervous about this.
Yeah.
I
guess they don't take your 10 because I'll bet $10 as well. I'll bet 20. Okay, Berkey, you always say I'm cheap with the wallet when it comes time to pay the bill. I'll throw a 20 on the table.
I've seen you at lunchtime, and you are a little slow with that wallet.
I'm a little slow with everything right now.
The bill comes. Sometimes you get a tire skate. So hang on a second. Skate's undone.
Alligator arms.
I'll bet exactly one cookie. As it relates to gameplay, then, we're going to be doing previews of all the series. And today we're doing Toronto and Columbus. And that's why we brought you on, Gord. That is, you know, a field of your expertise, having covered this team, specifically game in and game out all season long. But I don't know. Like, before we get drilled down on this one series, what do we really know, or what can we even say about hockey in late July, early August, after this much of a layoff? Do we not just sort of look at it and say, I don't know, looks like jump ball to me?
Well, that's kind of the fun part. And, you know, Stewie would know the most being a player. I've heard everything come. Is it going to be Friday night rec hockey? Is it going to be really systems-oriented coaches trying to get the defensive systems in? Is it going to be sloppy? Is it going to be hell-bent for leather talent? That's the extra wild card. And I think, you know, quite to the contrary, when people say there should be an asterisk of who wins the Stanley Cup, I think this is a very unique year. I think whoever gets it, it's full measure. I'm really hoping and excited to see the different possibilities that it's going to be. I'm hoping to get a series of triple headers for about a month while they have 16 teams in the play-in round and then 16 teams in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Mm-hmm. There's no, I mean, the first round is always, it's banana sandwich. It's so much fun. And this year, with this anticipation after being off for how many months, is probably going to make it that much better. How do you, when you look at this Toronto-Columbus series, and we'll drill down on this series today, where do you draw the quote-unquote battle lines? Where do you see these games won and lost?
Well, you know, it's the best players for Toronto have to be the best players. Columbus lost the equivalent of Freddie Anderson and Austin Matthews with Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin in the offseason. Toronto's the only team that's not won a playoff series since 2005. You know, the new look NHL. That's a long time, and I got a lot of respect for Columbus. It's not going to be that easy. You got Tortorella's coaching experience. That's not a knock against Sheldon Keefe, but John Tortorella's been there. But I just think it's time for the team that's had its heart broken in game seven too often to basically, you know, flex your muscle, and talent-wise should be Columbus.
Berkey?
I talked to five or texted with five different executives last night because I look at this and I'm like, Toronto should win this series. If you look at the lineups, what Columbus has done this year with their injuries is remarkable, but Toronto's a better team. They should win. All five said the same thing. Toronto should win, but Torts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, hey, you know, Bruce Cassidy outcoached Mike Babcock. That's not a slight against Mike Babcock, because Mike Babcock won gold medals, won Stanley Cups, won a lot of things, but, you know, just elements of that come into play. And good on Sheldon Keefe. He's won a Calder Cup. He's a new coach. Craig Berube won it as a new coach last year. He had the little subtleties of substituting certain players at interesting times that tended to work out. So that's a challenge for Sheldon Keefe. But, you know, John Tortorella's got what you got, Berkey. Those shiny Stanley Cup rings are very attractive. And once you got one, you know the price to pay.
And you watch what he did a year ago, taking out, you look at Tampa Bay, arguably as talented as Toronto, maybe more so, took them out with ease. And you wonder, can he do that again with a healthy lineup?
Well, and that was so bizarre, Tampa Bay having that 3-0 lead as well. I mean, that was a weird one. And Victor Hedman just kind of went south, you know, got hurt or whatever. So a lot of things came into play. But you're right, he was able to go for the juggler. And but in Toronto, like, to me, Toronto's out of excuses, like, about that. It's time, okay? And a guy like Tyson Barry, hey, if you want to make a bit of a hit, it's time. Morgan Riley, hopefully 100% healthy, because let's face it, this guy's been played through a lot of not being 100% all this season. So, you know, I'm hoping that'll be enough for Toronto to do it.
Stewie?
You know, obviously Toronto's, recovering some injuries as well. Which Maple Leaf do you think benefited the most from this 12-week pause?
Well, I would hope in Morgan Riley's case, getting healthy. I think that would be it. Stewie, do you remember we were debating what kind of time Freddie Anderson needed off? I don't think he said four months,
good.
Right?
No, I think he's good.
that was the debate. So, okay. So maybe Freddie did, because we all seem so concerned about was he getting enough time off. But I think just about that, as you know, and Berkey knows, you never know the aches and pains within that are not announced or disclosed as injuries. So those kinds of players. But I just, like, I've given Morgan Riley full marks that he's missed some days of practice. He's been playing not 100%, I think, almost from the get-go.
Being joined by Gord Celek, a little preview of the preliminary round. Should it get going? Training camp's on the horizon, heading into phase three, phase four, hopefully. That gets underway. And having a look here at Columbus and Toronto, Gordy, and there'll be some names that have been out of the lineup, namely Ilya Mikheyev, who is healthy and ready to return. And I wonder about a player like Nick Robertson, who's a draft pick, played junior last year with the Peterborough Petes, high expectations of the left winger. Do you think that he gets any type of shot here, or do you say it's only a best of five? That's too risky to put the kid in.
Well, I think, first of all, Mikheyev is a hell of a player. I mean, yep. This guy was just, I was loving his play before he got that injury, that really gruesome injury. I mean, wow, he to me had been a real pleasant surprise. So I'm hoping he's if he's 100% healthy, like they say, that to me, that's a great add-on. To me, in the first round, Jeff, Nick Robertson, I mean, you got to go with the guys that brought you to the dance. And then he's a depth player that if you advance, you can start integrating a little bit more than that. That I know it's an exciting possibility, the future for him. But right now, to me, you got to go with those guys at the lineup and let him learn. And then if he's needed injury-wise, put him in.
Berkey?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Only because what they need to win this series is not Nick Robertson. They've got enough. They score enough goals. They're third in the NHL in goal scoring, 3.4 goals per game. They score enough goals. This is more skill versus will, in my opinion. And Robertson is a real nice player. I could see them using him for a skill guy, but not right away. But how about the will versus skill? You know Columbus is going to roll four. They're going to forecheck two guys. They're going to make it hard on Toronto to get out of their own end. What do you make of the skill versus will?
Yeah, because last year, was it not Nick Foligno who said Toronto was an easy team to play against just for those kind of reasons about going the extra mile? And I think skill doesn't mean that you can't find the will. And, you know, Nazem Kadri is a kind of guy that some guys are going to have to play that role that, you know, like St. Louis did last year. The physicality part that doesn't mean you have to be a tough team, but willing to hit, willing to take a hit, willing to do those kinds of things as a team that you need in the playoffs. And Berkey, that'll be the question, because again, they've not done it to win a playoff series, neither this team or any team, for the past while. And I, you know, a couple of years ago when John Tavares was signed, people were getting way ahead of themselves, picking the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. And obviously, they seem to be on the right path there, but they really got to get over that hurdle, and they got to find the will thing. They got to have the will thing in this five game series, or potential five game series against Columbus, and I believe they will.
And they did show it at times, particularly after bad games. Remember, they got blown out by, I think it was Tampa, and then came right back the next night and played a structured game, or two nights later and played a structured game, and did pay the price and did pay attention to detail. They can do it for sure.
Yeah, and Berkey, keep in mind, I mean, to make the coaching change, let's face it, Mike Babcock, there's no way he was going to get fired during the regular season. It was this playoff that was going to decide or dictate whether he had a chance of staying on or not. But they were the dire straits they were in to make a coaching change when they did. They dug themselves out of a real, real deep hole. So I thought there was a lot of will there, and you're right. Every time, the couple of times there's been inexplicably, you say, what the hell happened there? How can you not show up against the Florida Panthers or whoever it was, those particular games? But then they've had that bounce back and shown that kind of will you're talking about the very next game.
Stewie?
Staying on the will subject here. So will the Maple Leafs players that received those big signing bonus contract payouts on July 1st, will they perform? Or will they be? Will there be too much pressure for them? And maybe possibly a couple of them having torn motivator cuffs, receiving all that money, you know, when it should be their off season.
You do bring up an interesting point, because Wendell Clark always says people think the pressure's on you when you're a rookie. And he goes, it's actually fun because you're everything's new, it's exciting, it's fun. And then all of a sudden, if you get money, there are those kind of pressures that maybe you put on yourself. I mean, you don't automatically start playing better just because you get up from an entry level contract to big, big money, but. Stewie, that's the question. That's where we started. And I'm sure the rotator cuffs, I think there's, I think you can do Insta banking. So it goes, they don't have to carry all the cash. So I'm sure the rotator cuffs will be fine. And yeah.
You know, I was worried about the motivator cuffs.
Oh, the motivator cuffs. Well, I there's no excuses. I just think go out, kick ass. You know, and part of it, you know, Berkey, when you revisited with your Anaheim Duck team, the one in Stanley Cup is, like, there's a lot of pressure, but if you can keep the fun in the game, and you mentioned you added Brad May because you wanted a guy that could just chirp and have fun and get some noise in the, like if you can have fun, keep having fun like you're a kid, that's a big, big part of those guys that love the game, that go deep.
Yeah, what do you think, Gordo, what do you think on the short series, though? It really is a different dynamic in a best of five. In a best of seven,
yeah,
you lose game one, and you're like, okay, we'll even it up tomorrow night, we'll be fine. And
yeah.
But this is different.
It is, and also being the start of the year, like, hey, Freddie Anderson starts slow traditionally. I mean, there's no slow start here. Otherwise, you're going to look at it next January. So that's the challenge everyone faces, Brian. And, you know, is Pittsburgh eliminated by Montreal? Does Chicago's experience in five take out Edmonton? I mean, it's a little bit scary if you're the better team, because three out of five behooves more upsets, but you can't go more upsets than you had last year in a regular season, in a regular 4-7 format. It happens.
You know, Gordon, the good thing about having you on, even though your expertise is Toronto Maple Leafs, you cover the entire league on your morning show on Sirius with Scott Laughlin. Which is the team out there that intrigues you the most in this play-in round? Is there one that you kind of look at sideways and say, man, I really don't know here, but it could be glorious?
Well, Berkey mentioned that everything's upside down, so this would be the year a placeholder team gets the first overall pick with 2.5% chance, like they did. I believe a play-in team, or maybe two, will be in the final. I just think it's that kind of year. I really do. Like, it's the ones that get, like, you're at death row, okay, out of the playoffs, and you get the call from the governor at 11:59, and not only are you exonerated and now are in the playoffs, you can win the whole bloody cup. So does Chicago run the table? Do the New York Rangers run the table? Like, you know, these teams that, you know, didn't, like, does the Florida Panthers wake up and Bobrovsky play like Bobrovsky and all that young talent come to, like, it's just because you've had 4 months off now. So that whole mindset about, you know, having an 82-game marathon during the regular season and trying to peak at the start of the playoffs that a lot of teams and coaches do rather adeptly, it's all gone by the wayside. I mean, to overuse that phrase, jump ball, it's jump ball.
Yeah, you mentioned placeholder teams, and it would be very on brand for this season to see that that placeholder team lose the first overall draft pick because the backup goaltender decided to go for a drink at King West somewhere. That would just be the icing on the cake for this season and wouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Gordy, always good stuff. Always love listening to you in the morning. We'll check in soon. Thanks, pal.
See you, Jeff, Berkey, Stewie. Thanks, Gordo. Thanks.
Thank you.
There he is, Gord Stellick, who joins us here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He is Leafs Nation pre- and post-game analyst. We'll stick with the Maple Leafs Blue Jackets series opening round. We have the Maple Leafs side of things from Gord. We'll do same from the Columbus POV, and that's Aaron Portline's duty, his beat, with The Athletic. Hockey Central continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Merrick, Burke, and Stewart, we're back in a moment.
Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We are giving away a box of 2019-2020 Upper Deck Ingrained Hockey cards every day this week. All you have to do is tell us who's on the card by texting your answer to 590-590. If you can name this player, here are a couple of today's clues. Clue number one, this defenseman played only one season in the OHL before being drafted in the first round as a forward in 2003. Attention, Anthony Stewart, 2003 draft alerts. Clue number two, he has spent all 1,113 games of his career in the Western Conference. Text your answer to 590-590 if you can name this player. Up for grabs, a box of 2019-2020 Upper Deck Ingrained Hockey cards available every day this week right here on Hockey Central.
Am I allowed to give away the answer or no?
No, you are in that draft and you are on this program as well, Stewart.
Ask me on Twitter if you need some tips.
You're disqualified twice of this one. That is the voice of Anthony Stewart, Brian Burke with us as always as well. And I'm Jeff Merrick. Being pleased to be joined now by Aaron Portline, who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets for The Athletic. And Aaron, thanks so much for stopping by. We talked to Gord Stellick previewing this Maple Leafs Blue Jackets series. Fingers crossed this thing gets on the ice. Before we get there, just a quick thought from you on what we saw over the weekend, whether it is the return to play agreement, whether it's an impending six-year CBA. What caught your interest the most, Aaron, over this weekend as far as information goes?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so much to digest, and I'm not sure I've processed all of it. I've spent much of the morning texting people for clarifications. What does this mean? How many coaches can you bring? I've seen three in some cases. Mm-hmm. The one thing that has prompted me, my curiosity, is will any players, and I think the situation is different here than it is with baseball, but will any players step forward and say, I don't feel comfortable playing? Baseball's different. I mean, they're just going into the season, so they're guaranteed to be 60 games away. I think that's significantly different, but I wonder if there are hockey players who feel a concern deep enough to not want to do this, and if they feel comfortable. There is a culture in the sport, I think, that's a little bit different than others. I just wonder the willingness to step forward and say, I don't feel comfortable, I'm not going to play. What the implications would be for that, both short-term and long-term.
Berkey, what do you think about that? Do you think we see a number of players say, thanks, but no thanks?
I think we'll see a few. I mean, you know, look at Anton Strahlman. He's got some severe asthma-related lung difficulties. He's expressed some concern. You've got a couple of type 1 diabetics who have lowered immune systems, who express... I agree with Aaron. The culture is show up and play. And I think most guys are going to do it. The players I've talked to are dying to play. Like, they can't wait. Yep. Can't wait to play. It's not a case of, gee, okay, it looks like we're going to play. It's like, when do we start? You know, tell us when the plane leaves. So I think Aaron's right. There is that culture. I think most guys are going to play. But If your parents are elderly and live with you, or you've got a child with a health condition, you're well within your rights to say, I'm not going to play.
What do you think, Stu? You think a lot of players take a pass? Oh, no, I shouldn't say a lot. Do you think some players take a pass on this?
I would say, you know, as Berkey mentioned, I think the ones that do have some health concerns, but I think most players, they do want to come back. They've been sitting at home now, almost getting a hint of what retirement life is like. They're itching to get back and get back to playing.
No one cheers when you take out the garbage. It's a weird phenomenon. Okay, Aaron, the Columbus-Toronto Maple Leafs series. First of all, what's more important for Columbus, winning this series or a shot at Alexi Lafreniere?
Oh, boy. I mean, that is that's a loaded one here. Of course, if you ask the players, that you know what they want to do. They want to win, and they want a shot at this thing. I mean, and I'm certainly not – I have never been in the camp of tanking. One thing about this franchise is they've never done it. They certainly have never done it well. If they did try it, it sure didn't come off well. They've never won – the number one pick via the lottery. And you think about the struggles that this franchise has had, that's pretty remarkable. Only once have they ever moved up even a step in the lottery. It's always been unfair to them. I don't like this system. I don't think this system is fair. That, of course, isn't the question you asked. For the Blue Jackets, they feel like a team to me that is setting up to be really good for a couple of years here, for a few years now. They've been pretty damn good. I think that can be sustained. But are they ever going to be able to attract that difference-making elite player that the other teams in their division, that's really been the difference. Washington, Pittsburgh, those guys have the difference makers. How does Columbus get that player if they don't get it through the draft? I think there are a number of Blue Jackets fans who maybe look at this situation and say, maybe they can beat Toronto. But what does that mean if you don't make it all the way, if you don't win another round in these playoffs, to just blow that chance at this difference-making player? I think there are a lot of people that are really, really torn by that question.
Berkey?
So talk about, and Aaron, thank you for doing this. Talk about Columbus. Tell us about your team. Obviously, massive injuries. What they accomplished was remarkable given the man games lost. Tell us about your team.
Yeah, well, it's always good to be with you, Berkey. It's such a weird season, one of the strangest seasons I've seen, and there have been many. The injuries, as you mentioned, over 400 man games lost, and we're not talking, you know, fourth line pluggers and number seven defensemen. We're talking Seth Jones. We're talking Werenski was out for a while. Their leading scorer, goal scorer, is Oliver Bjorkstrand. He was out with a broken ankle when the season hit pause. It's been all over their lineup, huge pieces. And it really wasn't until the injuries started to take hold of this group that they found their backbone a little bit, where they finally started to play the way that John Tortorella wanted them to play. They had huge contributions from guys that, quite frankly, you weren't expecting huge contributions from. Nathan Gerby played a really big role for this team. They didn't play well when they were fully healthy. So I'm curious to see what it looks like now when they get back to playing. They should have everybody ready to go. Dubinsky won't be there. Josh Anderson had shoulder surgery, so he's not going to be ready until they go well into this, maybe early September. But other than that, they have players back and healthy that they've only dreamed about, that in most cases they had resigned to not having them for the rest of the season. So for this team, maybe more than any other, this pause and this restart almost feels like a second chance at life.
Stewie?
John Tortorella is notorious for having extremely hard training camps with fitness testing, on-ice skating drills, etc. So do you see him really hammering this team in a short-term period, or really taking it easy and taking more of a nurturing approach?
Yeah, well, we've been joking, and I it's hard to make jokes about this pandemic, I'll grant you that, but this is, in many ways, John Tortorella, look at this, no media. This is the perfect situation for him. Two training camps, this is like a dream come true for John Tortorella. He gets to run these guys in the ground for a second time this year. I'm being facetious, of course. He can't do what he likes to do in the early stages of training camp. What the players here call him Coach Tortorella in training camp. He can't do that. There's not enough time. And who knows what shape a lot of these guys are going to report back to camp in. I don't think that would be wise. I think he knows. Look, he's not, you know, for all the stuff you hear about John Tortorella, he's not unwise. He knows what he's doing. I think this camp is going to be probably similar to other camps throughout the league. I don't think it's going to have that John Tortorella stamp on it in terms of being the most difficult camp in the league.
I wonder about one person specifically, and not just unless we know he's still injured. I wonder about the future with this player and the organization, because he has a skill set that is unique to the NHL and coveted by every team. What happens with Josh Anderson and the Columbus Blue Jackets, Aaron?
Yeah, that's a big question, and I don't think a lot of Columbus fans will like the truthful answer. I'm not sure Josh Anderson plays for this team again. It's gotten bad. It's gotten awkward, and the season he had doesn't help. So they had a nasty contract situation a few years ago. He missed all of training camp. Bad blood was started then. The kid has one goal in 27 games this year. He was injured fighting in Ottawa. This is a Brian Burke type player, Burke, if I may inject your name here. This is a big power forward who can really change the look of a game. Played an absolutely immense role in them beating Tampa Bay last year in the first round. He is a rare player in today's NHL. I think, I shouldn't say this, I know he has 1 year of RFA left. He can accept his qualifying offer and be a unrestricted free agent a year from now. He can go to arbitration, get a one-year ruling, be an unrestricted free agent a year from now. That appears to be his desire. He has said he's willing to sign long-term. I don't think that his actions have matched that. I think the feeling is that he wants to move on. And so the Blue Jackets can't simply continue to allow players to just leave via unrestricted free agency. They have to get something for this player. I've talked to people around the league who say that there have already been seeds planted about what a trade might look like involving him. Look, you know, he thought his season was done. I think there are feelings within the organization that maybe surgery could have been done earlier in the season to allow him to come back in a normal setting and play. This delay gives him a bit of a second chance if he wants it. We'll find out in September if the Blue Jackets are still playing, but I won't be surprised at all if Josh Anderson has played his last game in Columbus.
Berkey.
I agree with that, Aaron, by the way. Two things, two-part question for you. One, talk about probably the best player that in the NHL that no one ever talks about, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and tell us about the goaltending situation there.
Yeah, well, Pierre-Luc is a fascinating guy. I mean, you remember where he was drafted and when he was drafted, and the gasps and the boos and the curious response. It ruined the poor kid's draft moment. People are typically cheering at that point, and it built in him this festering anger to prove the world wrong. I think he's largely done that so far. Certainly, he's proven Jarmo Kekalainen and his amateur scouting staff to be right. He looks like he was the player that should have gone third in that draft. He looks like a number one center at times. I have to say, in all of his years, he's had a late season offensive lull. He's got to get up and over that. I think he needs a certain kind of playmate to really be an explosive offensive player. We haven't seen that yet. But he's a big time player. Looks like a smart pick by Kekalainen and staff. The goaltending situation is maybe the most interesting story for the Blue Jackets going into this. And we talked about the possibility of Anderson being moved. Whichever goaltender they decide not to keep here, Elvis Merzlikins, Jonas Korpisalo, whichever one is seen to not be their guy going forward could be part of another big trade. As much as last offseason was about the free agent players leaving Columbus, I think this coming off season for the Blue Jackets is going to be about the trades that they make, that they're able to make. Keep in mind, many, many teams are going to face a huge salary cap crunch. The Blue Jackets are in pretty good shape that way. If teams are looking for a starting caliber goaltender and one on the cheap, the Blue Jackets have one of those to move. I suspect they'll be active. But is it Merzlikins? Is it Korpisalo in this qualifying round? It's really hard for me to say. I think they were starting to lean towards Merzlikins, but they have so much respect for Korpisalo that he may get the first crack at it just because he's been such a good team guy for so many years in Bobrovsky's shadow here.
And I'm going to jump in on that. Do you foresee, on teams that have two legitimate goaltenders, which Columbus does, do you foresee short hooks on these guys? You have short leashes on them when the playoffs start. So let's say they go with Elvis. He starts game one and struggles early. Do you see quick hooks? Because that's what I hear from league executives. It's one thing when you've got a clear number one, he'll have a little longer leash. But the other ones, my prediction is you're going to see some timeouts and then some quick yanks.
Right. And I mean, it's a five-game series. You can't wait too long. I think that a big, going even looking out beyond just the Blue Jackets across this league, what are goaltenders going to look like in this restart? The other position players can be picked up a little bit by the guys around them. Goalies are on an island largely, and how quickly they can find their sharpness and their game and seeing the puck, I think, is going to be absolutely crucial. I think this qualifying round, I don't even know what an upset is anymore in the playoffs, but I think this could be just incredibly unpredictable. Montreal over Pittsburgh is the sexy pick by many people because of Carey Price. I think you're going to see results all over this league that make you scratch your head.
Really quickly, Aaron, I want to circle back. Brian asked you about Pierre-Luc Dubois. Last summer was supposed to be the summer of the offer sheet. We saw one, Montreal with Sebastian Aho. Is there any fear of one with Pierre-Luc Dubois in this offseason when we finally get there?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, of course, the finances are going to play a huge role in that. How many teams will have that he would want to go to will have the salary cap room to make a massive offer such that the Blue Jackets couldn't match it? I almost think that limits offer sheets more this year than it has even in recent years. The Blue Jackets have said they'll always match. They have the room to match. I think that's a little bit of a dance, if you will, by GMs as well. I think there are tough decisions to make. I'm looking at the candidates that would be able to make an offer that would be difficult for the Blue Jackets to match, given where the cap is and where it's going. I think they're pretty safe on that. I guess I'll believe it when I see it.
The one that stands out to me is still Montreal. They tried last year with Aho, bringing in Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah.
I don't know. Last word to Anthony Stewart. Go ahead, Stewie.
Columbus fans got a glimpse of Liam Foudy this year for two games. How bright is his future with Columbus, and where do you see him slotting in this lineup?
It's fast.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. His future is extremely bright. It looks like his hands are starting to catch up with his feet. The guy can absolutely fly. I mean, a great, great difference-making type skater. I think the difference he starts making is now. I think he plays in the qualifying round. I think John Tortorella sees that speed and the ability. Let's be honest, this is a fairly workmanlike. There's some respectable, proud players at forward on this team, but there's not a lot of guys that really scare you offensively. Foodie's the kind of guy that can open up the ice for some of the other guys. I think he plays more than maybe people expect.
He can flat out fly. That was, even talking about surprising draft picks. So Pierre-Luc Dubois, that was another one. We can all recall that when Jarmo went up and said Liam Foudy from the London Knights, and everyone sort of scrambled. I remember working right beside a couple of the tables, and everyone was kind of like, whoa, that's an early one for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Right.
But as we've seen with Jarmo Kekalainen before, and even Yzerman last year with Detroit, you have the guy you want, take him. Don't make your list based on what everyone else's list is.
Yeah, and if I may, I think back to some other situations in Columbus where there were scouts that wanted a certain player, that would have been seen as a really bold pick. And I'm not sure people had the stomach to make that bold pick when they should have. I'm thinking of Anze Kopitar.
Yep.
And I have full marks to Jarmo and his staff. They stood on that stage. They took the player they wanted, which was directly contrary to what almost everybody in that room expected. And they stood there and they ate it because they believed in that player, and they were right.
That's what you want your GM to do. Aaron, as always, thanks so much. Appreciate the contributions. Good stuff. As always, Aaron Portsline from The Athletic has been our guest. Aaron, thanks so much for stopping by. There is Aaron Portsline teeing up from a Columbus Blue Jackets point of view. What we could look for should this series ever get underway. And a reminder, we are giving away a box of 2019-2020 Upper Deck ingrained hockey cards every day this week. Tell us who's on the card. Here is your clue. By the way, text in at 590-590 if you can name this player. Today's clues, I already gave you two. The defenseman played one season in the OHL before getting drafted in the first round as a forward in 2003, the second best draft year after 2015. Right, Stewie? Okay. Has spent all 1,113 games of his career in the Western Conference. And here's your final one. Has won one Norris Trophy in his career. If you know who this player is, text in at 590-590. More Hockey Central. Anthony Stewart, Brian Burke, and yours truly, Jeff Merrick. We're back in a moment on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to the program here Monday to Friday at noon. Jeff Merrick alongside Anthony Stewart and Brian Burke. A couple of moments before we wrap up the program. Guys, for those who weren't with us at the beginning of the program, we talked about an impending six-year CBA extension between the NHL and the Players Association, the return to play protocol, what happens if players leave without permission, a non-disclosure of positive tests. And one of the things I think that caught a lot of people's eyes, curious your thoughts on this, guys, as we finish up the program. There will be a social media person with every team in the bubble. Do you guys have a thought on that one? It's one thing for millionaires to be making these risks and team personnel. What do you guys think of having a dedicated social media person in the bubble for every squad? Berkey, we'll start with you.
Well, I think that's the world we live in now. Every team has social media people that travel with the team on a regular basis, if not every game. But there's always someone around. So I think it's a good idea.
Well, I like it too. Stewie?
Yeah, I think the Islanders should hire Nick Alberga because he tweets about the Islanders, I think, about 16 times a day. So he'd be a good fit to go in the bubble with the Islanders.
Stewie, they don't need to hire him. They got him for free now.
That's true.
What do you hire the guy for? All right. I want to thank our guest for stopping by. You just heard from Aaron Portsline a second ago. Before that, you heard from Gord Stellick. Daily previews of the play-in round on Hockey Central. Tomorrow, another day.